And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday, June 24th, 1:08 in the afternoon. Temperatures in the mid-70s out there. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel, and a beautiful day. Today is the pick day of the week. I hate to say good weather for cleanup, but it is good weather for cleanup.
Around the county it is.
Yeah. And it's been a rough 4 or 5 days around here, and finally, it's nice to see a quiet day. And speaking of quiet, you know, we've only had one qualifier on Weather and Ag in Focus. And, you know, Bridget and I are starting to get complex here that...
Nobody wants to call when we're on air. Maybe they're so busy listening.
Maybe
they
the don't phone, even have maybe a it's time. Addison's fault. The phone lines are broke. I don't know. I mean,
Addison
we're
is
trying
the-
to blame somebody.
I think that's enough of having his mic on.
Thank you very kindly. Addison's like the one guy that gets everything done around here. The rest of us are failing.
So today's qualifier, we're going to get this out of the way early. Leslie Wegner of West Fargo. Leslie, you have 10 minutes and 7 seconds to call. Or 9 minutes and 70 seconds
nine
to call.
Minutes and 70
9 minutes
seconds.
And 70 seconds to call. 7012. Where did I get that from?
I don't know. But
I meant to say 10 minutes and 10 seconds.
Start the clock, Addison.
Anyway.
Start the clock.
Yeah. Leslie Wegner of West Fargo. You have 9 minutes and 70 seconds to call. 701-293-9000 to become a qualifier for our big grocery giveaway. $10,000. Worth of groceries for a year.
Brought to us by Alsager Meats, Kingpins, and ND Estate Services. Again, you can reach us on that JLA insurance phone line, 701-293-9000.
Yeah, so if you know Leslie Wegner, make sure get a hold, text her, say, hey, they just called your name. You got to call in. Hurry up.
I hope so. And she can call while we introduce this studio full of guests today. First up, we have our assistant ag director for the day. So, Naomi, go ahead and give yourselves a little introduction.
I'm Naomi Miller. I'm from Kindred High School. I'm 16 years old, and I just finished 10th grade. I'm involved in wrestling, FFA, and 4-H.
Whoa. She said wrestling.
She did.
Oof.
Fastest growing high school sport in North Dakota.
Yeah, especially for girls. It's
That's
really
awesome.
Been growing.
That yes. is awesome.
And this is your second year wrestling.
Yep.
Right? Okay. So, yes, going very well. And that's the girls' tournament actually outpaces the boys' tournament right now to state level.
Does it really?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
See, that's awesome. That's great.
Later in the parking lot, she'll throw you to the ground just for fun.
Well, she's taller than me, so that's probably easily done.
And additionally, on the auction block with Steffes Group, Brad Olstead is joining us in studio today. Brad, how's the auction business?
Well, I tell you what, it's really doing well. We had our first live sale in probably about 6-7 months last week. And it was just thoroughly exciting to get to have everybody come out, experience the live auction event. Sale prices held up very, very well. And it's just that interaction with the buying public. It was just really, truly a good experience. And it's just nice to see that there's still interest in live auctions. We
Yay!
Still use the internet. And quite frankly, it was entertaining. It was fun by all. We sold an 856 International Farm All for $20,000, which is not quite a record, but real close. But just really, really well received.
Geez, I thought the best part about going to auctions simply had to do with the fact that there was Church Lady Pie and Barbecues, but I bet it's buying a good deal as well.
Well, funny you should say that, because the Church Ladies turned out to be school kids. And they were raising funds so they could go to Bible camp this summer.
Oh, that's
nice.
Great.
And they did an outstanding job. There was probably about 8 to 10 of them. And they were walking around serving water and fresh pastries and cookies and all that good stuff. And it just reminded me of the good old days when that's what we did, you know, back in the day.
I came for a cookie and bought an 855.
So true.
So we've been hearing some things about the market.
So how's the market on skid steer loaders?
Well, skid steer loaders, there's a strong demand because there's such a wide swath of people that can utilize a skid steer loader, especially the late model with all of the hydraulics, all of the attachments that are on there. And if you could find a low-hour skid steer, trust me, it's hard to come by. And the prices that are receiving on those skid steers is very strong. You're probably within 70 to 80% of retail cost. That's just because of the pent-up demand. And even the older skid steers are still popular. They don't have the hydraulic capacity, so they're somewhat limited. But it's just like a second hired man out in the farm or the ranch when you have a skid steer. Everybody seems to use them.
Does anybody care if they're wheeled or tracked anymore? Or that they're just kind of interchangeable?
Well, I tell you, the track machines will do more, mm-hmm. and in various conditions, the wheel machines are somewhat limited, especially if it gets into wet conditions or snow, slipperiness, things like that. There seems to be a preference with the track skid steers. They got cab suspension. Now they're getting track suspension, so they really make it a nice ride.
Okay. The kid in me is excited to see they have cabs and air conditioning. We did not have that in that little Gale that we used in the back of a dairy barn.
I can believe that. Just like an open station 610 Bobcat. No,
yes,
no.
They were very, very different. So these are awesome little machines that folks are looking for. Are there some other highlights from upcoming auctions that you think of, Brad, that you're thinking that's going to be a great item or this is going to be a really great sale that's coming up?
Well, I think I'd want to highlight is the opportunity that producers have right now on purchasing late model equipment. We feel that the lows are in, the inventories are starting to whittle down, and we feel, even though with commodity prices being down, we feel that this is going to be the best time to purchase large late model equipment, low-houred, and your best discounted price. And once this inventory dries up, we're going to be back to more of a retail selling environment.
Okay.
The price of new machinery is not coming down.
No.
So that opportunity for somebody to buy at a 25 to a 35% discount, that's going to come back and be a free use of a tractor or combine in a couple of years.
Because the storm recently has been so fresh in our minds. And so I have two questions. First for you, Naomi, did you see any storm damage on your way in today from Kindred?
I didn't really pay attention a ton, but on my way back from Kindred, I definitely saw a lot, like, in the fences and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of tree damage, a lot of branches and stuff.
So we know that the trees got damaged. We had cropland that was damaged. We have equipment that got damaged. So my question for Brad is, after you've had the discussion with your insurance company, because I've got some farmers with smashed cabs on tractors and so forth, and maybe something gets totaled out and they're ready to sell it, what are their steps with you? Do you sell that stuff damaged? Does it have to have a damaged title like an automobile? What can you tell me about if something like that were to happen?
Well, funny you should say that. You know, my farm that I'm involved with is out in Page, North Dakota.
Oh, I know exactly.
Hard hit. So my son, he went through. We were there Saturday morning and did the damage assessment. And I'm also doing a live sale for Steve Erickson and Jack Vadney out of Clifford.
Yes.
And so I took it upon myself to go out and visit with them. Obviously, they're very stressed. They're most concerned about the trees.
Yeah.
And it's just so sad, the loss of trees out there. But the equipment, with some of the shed damage and things like that, I told them, I said, let's make an assessment.
Okay.
Visit with your insurance, and there's two ways of doing it. We can sell the equipment still, even though it's not fixed, as fixed, and we just disclose and be transparent about it. We always make that determination. So I was visiting with Lonnie Nelson at Valley Plains Equipment,
yes.
The John Deere dealer in Hunter, and they had that big combine shed went down on combines. Okay.
Yeah, those were, and living in Hunter, I think those were new machines.
Some were new machines and some were custom machines. So,
yeah.
You know, Lonnie's under a lot of stress right now and everybody's concerned, but the most important thing is, one, nobody got hurt.
Right.
Two, insurance is there, and it's a very proactive dealership group down there. Hunter's got a great support staff. They had a telehandler there lifting some of the things off the building, and everybody's going to come in and make an assessment. But, you know, I think in all, you know, yes, it's bad that it happened, but nobody got hurt. Keyword, nobody got hurt.
Right.
And that equipment, if they do it properly, it can be fixed. It wasn't like it was in a major twister. It's just a building came down on top of it.
Sure.
And Brett, can you auction off damage, like equipment that was in a storm like that and got damaged?
Yes.
They can be auctioned off.
Yeah. The most important thing we have to do there is disclose. And so inspections, and a lot of these things will be inspected. So there's going to be certified John Deere technicians that are going to come out. You're going to have your insurance inspector come out, and they're going to make a determination. Is it a loss? Is it going to be sold? Or is it going to be traded in for another model and take the time? Because parts are going to be the hard thing to come by right now. Because with all of the machine sheds that went down and equipment got damaged, there's going to be a lot of calls for parts. And right now it's hand to mouth with some of these dealership groups and their parts department. And those are going to be some of the issues at hand.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's nothing that's going to slow down right now.
No.
And for folks who want to be watching your auctions, who want to be bidding, How are the ways that they can do that for us, Brad?
Well, I think the most important thing they can do is just to check out our website, you know, stephisgroup.com. And we got a very nice website. I tell you, we control our own website. We do all of the things that we like to promote auctions. We got our salespeople that are listed. And that's probably the thing that I would suggest.
We appreciate it. Thank you, sir. You know what? We have a little outro music for you. Addison, if you can run that for us, because that'll take us right into our commercial break with the livestock markets.
Thank you much.
Shoot, we did not get a qualifier for our $10,000 great grocery giveaway, but we do that every day here in the 1 to 2 o'clock hour. We want you to be listening, because then you will have 9 minutes and 70 seconds to qualify for the $10,000 grocery giveaway brought to you by Kingpin's Alsager Meats and ND Estate Services. This Friday, you can go to Alsager Meats in Audubon, Minnesota from 2 to 5, and you can get qualified right there in person. There's a lot of in-person things going on. Naomi, there's something in your neighborhood over there at Enderlin.
So concerning the recent storms, they've really just like kind of wrecked the farmers' fields. There's crops are like leveled. Enderlin FFA has committed to helping the farmers clean up their fields. They work with A Country Farm Credit Services to host a field cleanup day today, Tuesday, June 24th. A Country provided meals and refreshments for volunteers. They walked through the fields and clean up debris.
They did, and we have some photos of it.
Yeah, we do.
So if Addison can put those in our live stream. Poor Addison, I've got him doing 7 million things back there in the other room.
Just another normal day.
Right. Nora, the man behind the curtain. But for those who are watching on our live stream, and you can see our live stream
on Facebook, YouTube, and Acres TV.
And these photos are from this morning in the Enderlin area where students were helping pick up debris in fields. And I don't know, Dean, you, like you said, the pictures don't do it justice.
No, it doesn't. And so when you say they're picking up debris outside of like belongings that belong or just whatever that's in the field.
So you think about tree branches, first of all, because that's what we're seeing is some shelter belts.
I mean, you got to be careful out there for nails and everything else.
Like everything from like the barns and.
Right.
Yeah. So think about a farm shop, right? What's the stuff you're going to see blown out of that shop?
Metal.
Yeah. 5 gallon buckets, tarps, tools. Harvest is for crop that is still able to stand. In this particular picture, that crop is gone, right? Yeah. It's leveled. But you're running a header low to the ground, like for soybean harvest. Think of all of the stuff you're accidentally going to be picking up in there. Yeah. We're going to find it for a while. So a big thank you to all the area kids who went out to help.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone from Enderlin area has done a really great job in helping these farmers.
They have. That's been super. Okay, so we have so many things going on this week as well. Tomorrow I will be in Northwood. The EPA is in the state. That is the EPA e-tour. I'll be able to visit with some farmers up in that area. And then tomorrow night is the banquet for Nourish. And Nourish the Future is an organization that's here helping the North Dakota corn growers and soybean growers bring together teachers for area high schools and middle schools talking about agriculture and particularly biofuels. And so I'll get a chance to go and visit with those teachers who are here from all across the state as well. So just one more thing to add to the list, but the bigger, better list is our next guest who's going to be on with us, and that is Mike Downey. He is with Uncommon Farms and Next Generation Ag Advocates. Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Appreciate being on.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. So Uncommon Farms, give us a little background if you would.
You bet. Yeah, it's a farmer-based organization out of Brighton, Illinois, which is north of St. Louis, and really just, you know, a trend I see with a lot of farms and the work I've been doing with them is a trend of more and more that do not want to go at it alone. You know, just joining up with other farms, kind of a community, if you will. So Uncommon Farms is a membership model that just really helps farms on all phases of the operation, top down. They get assigned a coach, a financial consultant. I lead out the succession planning efforts, so I'm sort of the succession coach. And just really helping farms be better, farms that really want to work on the business, not just in the business.
And Mike, is this basically for new farmers or doesn't matter?
No, it's really open to just farms that I would say are maybe a little more progressive thinkers on, you know, understanding that you know, all the risks they have. And so sorry to hear, see those reports of the storm damage. You know, obviously risk management is one of those components, quite frankly, is helping make sure farms are protected adequately. So just really farms that want to be better.
Do you find a lot of farms are not protected adequately?
Oh, you know, there's a little bit of a mixed bag, I guess. And there's a lot more to risk management than just crop insurance or grain marketing. So, you know, just really, even from the succession entity structure planning, just making sure that their assets are protected adequately.
So, Brad, what specific services does Uncommon Farms offer?
Really a consulting model. So when you think of just the farm operations, there's really, you know, five or six key resource areas, you know, strategic planning, helping them establish goals to and really keeping them accountable. That's what I think a lot of farms, what I hear them saying that they appreciate is just somebody there making sure they're accountable to what they, you know, kind of set out for the year. And from there, a human resources standpoint, working with the people, all the employment laws and things like that. Just the day-to-day management, leadership roles, you know, succession planning is a lot more than just wills and trusts. So the day-to-day roles as well. And then the financial component, staying on top of the numbers, which is so, so important.
And so like what kind of crops do your customers raise? And like where could they find customers?
The member farms.
Yeah, pretty diverse. We work with 100 farms across North America, even up into Canada, you know, so here in the Midwest where I'm located and we're located, you know, obviously corn and soybeans, but, you know, work with, you know, a blueberry grower in Georgia, a produce vegetable farmer down in near Yuma, Arizona, farms in Texas, and, you know, really just kind of diverse and really, you know, a lot of the same challenges and pain points for those are. A lot of them are the same, regardless of the location or what the crops they grow.
Well, I would venture a guess, especially as you have so many services to offer. Like you said, it's not just finances, but HR, et cetera, because you have some farms that they need those items, but yet they're just not quite big enough to have that staff themselves. So that's really where Uncommon Farms comes in, is to be that extra management arm for folks. Is that a good way to describe it?
It is, yeah. I think you hit it on the head, you know, especially, you know, That financial side, you know, trying to find your own CFO, you will, that's really a challenge, you know, so almost having someone to support you and almost like a just kind of part of your staff, really, when you think about it that way.
Well, there's a lot more questions to ask. And we have with us today as our guest, this is Mike Downey. He is with Uncommon Farms. We have a handout that you've sent us, a PDF about a succession workshop that's coming up in Des Moines. We want to ask about that. A little bit about the history of how Uncommon Farms came to be. And we certainly want to hear more from our assistant today, our assistant ag director, Naomi Miller from Kindred. We will do that after we reach bottom of the hour news, and we'll be back.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday afternoon. 135 temperatures in the mid-70s across the area. Nice mild day. This is the pick day of the week. Get out and enjoy it. Enjoy it. And Addison, we had a caller during the break, and he had a question for me but couldn't hang on. What was his question?
Yeah, so we had a caller with a question. His question was, with regards to the Friday supercells that blew through the area, How did those correspond to the predictions from the LRC for this time of year?
Great question. And that's I've had numerous people ask me that. And I was talking with Gary about it, and Gary's like, he goes, buddy, he goes, go back and look at your special that when I was on air.
I'm sorry, did you forget it?
Our spring special. There's so many target dates. I could have looked on my calendar in the office, but he's like, and so I did, and I went back and looked, and sure enough, he had from I believe it was the 20th through the 30th highlighted for a few severe weather outbreaks up here, including a possible major derecho event.
Oh, yeah.
And sure enough. So mark your calendars for the very end of – so we're on about a 40-day cycle. So if you circle back to the 20th, figure the very end of July and early August, that first week in August, this same pattern is going to cycle back. Does that mean we're going to get hit over the same areas?
No.
Probably not. No, but it means that severe weather will be in the area more than likely during – in that that time period.
But I also think that means evaluate your crop, because if it looks good and you want to be taking out crop insurance, you should be having a conversation.
Bingo.
With someone very quickly.
Right.
In order to make that happen.
Yeah, because we know North Dakota, Minnesota areas, and into South Dakota, you know, again, this pattern will cycle back at the end of July and the first weekend of August.
It will. And we want to make sure that our field, our Here We Grow 20 acres of wheat, stays happy and healthy. Maybe we have to consider looking at crop insurance. And we say a big thank you to our sponsors, Codico Fuels. Dean and I were with them this morning. We did a video out at their site in West Fargo.
I learned a little bit. I love going on these shoots and learning more about, you know, you see these fuel trucks going down the road and it's like, all right, where do they get the fuel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much do these trucks hold? It was interesting finding out, you know, little tidbits about that.
And they're powering up, whether it's diesel, gas. Mm-hmm. Also, we talked about renewable fuels, oil, bulk oils, and propane. So mm-hmm. there's a lot going on with Codico. Keep them in mind when you are looking to price fuel, especially as we approach harvest. Ellingson Companies, because for drainage, if we get major weather patterns that drop a bunch of rainfall on them, we got to get that water moved off those fields and out of the way. So Ellingson Company can help with that. And then keep that technology safe. One of the ways to do that is using Chris Sherman services at techsupportfarm.com, because as we have listened to situations with Iran over the weekend, we know that they are talking about more cyber attacks. And the biggest concern with cyber attacks is agriculture. We are one of the top three targets as industries. So keep that in mind. You might want to be secure in all of your information that's online. And Chris Sherman at Tech Support Farm can help. So back to our guest and our intern, Naomi Miller. She's going to kick us off with some questions for Mike Downey with Uncommon Farms.
Welcome back, Mike. I have a few questions. My first one is about, what's the background of just like Uncommon Farms? How did it start?
It actually dates back 30 plus years ago. It started off as more of a financial solutions software, you know, helping farmers and ranchers with their bookkeeping and staying on top of the numbers. And then it was about 15 years ago or so when it just developed, you know, a need to help farms in other ways, just more with the management of the farm, the day-to-day, like we talked about before. And so that's really how it's evolved, this coaching model and having access to peer groups, learn from other farms. You know, that's something that maybe my grandfather who farmed, maybe wasn't for him because he kept everything close to his chest. But I do think it is a trend that's going to continue in the future of operations, just wanting to not go at it alone and, you know, really seek out other, you know, a team of advisors, if you will, to really help them be better.
And then my next question is about the Next Gen Ag Advocates. Like, what is it, kind of?
Great question. So a little bit more background. I was out working independent for 7 or 8 years before I joined Uncommon Farms to lead out their succession efforts. And so that is a entity that was actually founded by two farmers here in Iowa. One of those farmers has children, but no children that farm. And so succession and farm transition is a lot more than just in the family. There's a lot of, you know, non-family transition as well. And, you know, there's a high percentage of farmers that don't have children who farm. So that's what Next Gen is all about, is working, you know, trying to find opportunities for young and aspiring farmers to match them up with retiring farmers that don't have any kids that are farming, you know, and that want to, you know, give a young couple, young producers an opportunity within the community to carry that farm operation forward.
How does that start, Mike? I mean, in a way, it's a little bit like eHarmony, where you're trying to match a current producer with someone who wants to get into the business. Well, I could have said farmers only, but that's a whole different tract. So when you think about this, where do you start with that? Or do you have young farmers approaching you saying, I'm looking for a way to get involved, but I don't know how?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have a matching program. It's called Century Match, where interested producers can sign up and just be part of our network, if you will. And we send out opportunities when they come available. Now, some of these, as you know, the farm community can be a little bit more private in nature. So a lot of the connections that we're making are done maybe more discreetly too, but just with our own network and just, you know, kind of whittling out if there's a particular opportunity, you know, trying to you know, siphon it out to three or four good candidates where they're kind of like-minded on their philosophies. And then just kind of, like you say, we kind of act as the matchmaker, but we also wanted to be more than just a matchmaking service. Once we help connect two parties, to really be there as that independent, you know, advisor to help them, you know, what's the best way to set that transition up and then support them, especially in the early years when there can be some, you know, things to work through or potential bumps in the road.
So I really hate to ask this, but what if it goes bad? What if you're in the midst of helping out this type of a partnership, bringing together a already experienced farmer with someone who wants to get in, and they start that transition and it falls apart? Is there methodology to make that better?
Yeah, and it's happened. I mean, I think everybody realizes when we go into it that, you know, not every connection is going to be perfect, you know, but let's all agree that we can learn from that. And there's different, you know, reasons that we look at and things that we vet out, you know, especially, you know, young families that are even willing to relocate, you know, mm-hmm. Different area for an opportunity. That's a big decision. So making sure we kind of vet all of those things out and make sure. But I will tell you one observation that, you know, people ask me, you know, how is transition planning with those type of transitions compared to in family? And as a general rule, I found that it's actually easier because the parties are going in as non-related parties and they're, you know, viewing that as more of a business transaction, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. That's a good point.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the upcoming session on July 23rd?
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to hold an in-person one-day workshop. It's actually going to be a series of workshops this summer. The first one is going to be July 23rd down in Des Moines, downtown, and just really helping families kind of go through a typical process from start to finish. Understand that we're not going to solve all your needs in one day, but by the time you end the day, our goal is that you have a pretty good idea of an action plan or a roadmap for the next steps for your particular situation. So yeah, Des Moines, we're going to be doing one down in Amarillo, Texas, and we actually are looking at doing one up in your area, probably after harvest later this year.
Well, we'd be curious to hear about that.
Interesting. And Mike, are you just concentrated in the Midwest, or are you nationwide?
Yeah, we're across North America, you know, including some farms up into Canada. You know, we do have a stronger presence, I would say, in the Corn Belt states. But yeah, we work with farms across the country.
You have a special guest on your seminar on July 23rd down in Des Moines, and that is Paul, is it Niefer? The CPA
Paul
report?
Niefer. Yeah, some people probably recognize his name, follow him. He's a retired principal with CLA, Clifton, Larson & Allen Agency. A very well-respected farm CPA specialist in the industry, well sought out for information. He does a blog, and we're fortunate enough to have him come in and be a guest speaker for both the Des Moines and the Amarillo, Texas workshops, actually. So.
That sounds like an excellent opportunity for folks to ask questions, because we hear how many acres are going to change over in the next few years, and it's monumental. It's somewhere in 40% of the farmland in 15 years is going to change hands. And as we think about that, there is probably not enough discussions happening today.
And Mike, one last question. You know, a lot of corporate entities are starting to buy farms. And are you seeing more of a corporate reach out to you, or is it still more, you know, localized owners?
Yeah, you know, I think there's that perception out there, and that, you know, actually, I don't know if you've heard in my neighboring state of Illinois, there was a survey done of consumers a few years ago that the consumer perception of farms in Illinois is that a large percentage of them were large corporate farms, over 50%.
Oh.
Where in fact, the truth is 96% of farms in Illinois are family owned.
Well, how in the world would rumor like that get started?
Because, okay, so here's where I'm going to step in and say a lot of that is just misinformation. When you hear a word like Purdue Farms in the poultry industry, they don't actually own every one of those farms. They have folks that own their own farm but contract with them to bring their chickens in.
Okay. All right.
When you drive down the road and you see a sign for a seed company. Maybe it's DeKalb, Syngenta, even locally Legend and Mustang. And people think, well, then it's owned by those companies. No, it's just advertising from one farmer to the other about the type of seed that was used, et cetera. So I think there is a very much a misnomer that corporations own farms. They do not. Many states have corporate farming laws, so that cannot happen. You can have a group of investors who buy some property, but generally speaking, there are rules in place about who can own, and we do not have a tremendous amount of corporate farms.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, this consumer disconnect is a big deal. I mean, so much that, you know, you're used to farms having marketing plans to market their grain or livestock, but there are some farms I'm working with that are developing a marketing plan just to educate the local consumers and community who they are, because they're afraid that, you know, the future is that the customer hates, you know, the very person that is helping grow the food that supplies this country. So it's this huge disconnect is a big deal.
Mike, we really appreciate you taking the time to come in today. I can take the flyer that you sent and I can repost that on our Facebook page so people can see it and get excited about the fact that you'll probably be coming our direction this fall as well. So thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you again for the opportunity.
Much appreciated. And folks, don't be shy for questions that you may have. You can reach us once again on the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. I didn't think we'd have time, but I bet we can even have some ag headlines after the break.
Finally. It's
woohoo.
All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm going to do a quick recap of the weather here. A beautiful day. Today is the pick day of the week, hands down. We'll top out today in the upper 70s, I should say, with a south-southeast wind at 5 to 15. We got a lot of sunshine right now, but we'll see increasing clouds tonight as a storm system rides in from the central plains, and we'll drop down into the mid to upper 50s tonight, and then mostly cloudy on Wednesday. Showers develop in the afternoon, maybe a rumble of thunder, but I think mostly showers with south-southeast winds 10 to 20, highs in the low 70s. Showers continue Wednesday night. They'll end Thursday, and Thursday's highs mid-70s. Then we focus towards the weekend, and warm, moist, humid air is going to build in here starting Friday. And we're looking for highs in the mid-80s on Friday. Friday night, I'm concerned about. It looks like a pretty good chance for a severe weather outbreak Friday night.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Not where I live. We're done here. Cass County took their turn.
Man, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But this looks like more of a wind event, not a tornadic or hail event. Like, we need that, right? We need that like a hole in the head. But we could be dealing with another derecho event Friday night. Again, and we'll update throughout the week as we get more information in, kind of pinpoint where this is expected to be from. But from right now, it looks like northwest, north central part of the state, and then sweeping southeastward almost over the same areas that got hit. So let's hope that does not materialize. And then we have another round of severe weather possible Saturday night. That looks like that may hang just to our south, but again, close enough where we have to keep an eye on it with highs in the 80s. And then less humid air comes in next week to start off the month of July with temps very pleasant in the lower 80s.
I'm debating if I should go home and use that Florida hurricane trip where I put big tarp straps over my house and chain them down.
Yeah, it's just and again, this same pattern will be cycling back as we head in the last few days in July and into the first week of August. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists.
So we have a summer plethora of garden produce that's about to start coming in, and one of those summer favorites is strawberries. But there's a few things we probably didn't know.
Yeah, we should probably learn about some strawberry stats.
Okay, what do you got?
On average, an acre yields about how many pounds of strawberries, do you think?
Okay, so here's now it's our
how many pounds?
Quiz.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw out 100.
Okay, so an acre is a size of a football field. And yeah.
No peeking.
I'm not letting you guys see.
Our intern Naomi is covering her sheet, so I can't look. And I read these this morning on our morning shows. Beats me. I'm going to say you can probably get a couple hundred pounds off an acre.
It's 51,000 pounds of strawberries.
We weren't even for 51,000 pounds per acre?
We needed to double that and add a zero.
Wow. Yeah.
But think about it. It's a little berry. They don't weigh that much.
Well, yeah, until you start adding them all up. But holy cow.
Hey, just because I eat a lot does not mean we can talk about my weight. I figured it out when we were talking about wheat last week. That I weigh somewhere over just 2 bushels. So maybe more over nice. 2 bushels than I should think. But anyway.
Okay. If you're visiting anywhere in the United States, where do you think you're going to find the most strawberries?
What, like a state?
Yep.
Oh, I know I saw these before, but to me, it immediately think about California, the San Joaquin Valley.
Yeah, you're correct.
I was going to Google it. That was too slow.
Put your fingers down. There's a lot of fruit production in that part of that state.
I think North Dakota should be part of that.
Well, we can see what we can do. We're going to need a lot more gardens.
We got sugar beets.
Yeah, we got sugar beets.
We got sugar beets here.
All right, what else have we got on there?
How many seeds do you think are on a strawberry skin?
Oh. How many seeds? Well, first of all, the seeds are on the outside, right?
Yes. So
I think they're the only fruit that is like that, where their seeds are on the outside of their skin. So how many seeds?
I'm going to say 500.
Well, now we overshot it.
I think so. I think it's probably closer to 250.
It's 200.
It's 200.
You're kind of close, yeah.
I forget I go high because we were way off last time.
And there's little seeds. You wouldn't think they stick in your teeth, but by God, they do. How irritating.
Yeah. What percent of U.S. household consumes strawberries?
Just my house consumes most of the U.S. supply of strawberries.
I'd say 85.
94.
Wow.
Yeah. I have a cousin with a strawberry allergy, and I always felt like terribly sorry for her. Like, that was the worst.
Yeah.
We go to grandma's.
Strawberries are, I eat so many strawberries.
They're so good. You got to put whipped cream on them, though.
And add some basil food cake. Suddenly we see why I weigh well over 2 bushels. Okay. Just as a reminder, I want to make sure folks know that, again, Friday, National Stockman's Association is hosting in Watertown, South Dakota, Stockmanship and Stewardship. You can register online or email me, ag@flagfamily.com, for details.
All right. That'll do it for us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.